PGA Championship going this weekend, and I know everybody was hoping to see Jordan Spieth take a run at the career Grand Slam. Had he done it, had he been able to do it, and I guess it's not for sure just yet, but it kind of is, he would be the youngest player ever to complete the career Grand Slam, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen this week. He is well off of the lead, but this tournament made news at the beginning of the week because the PGA announced that it was going to be moved to May and that the Players' Championship would be moved to March. So before we talk about any other golf storylines here, is this a good move for golf? And will this make the PGA more prestigious on the calendar, whereas right now it's just kind of the other guy? It's the forgotten brother.
Seems to make perfect sense on paper, right? Because for many of us, if you're not a hardcore golf fan, it starts with the Masters in April. And then you have I guess it's only 2 months, but it feels like a lot longer of a wait for the U.S. Open, which right. always coincides with Father's Day. And then it's kind of like, boom, you've got the British Open usually a month after, maybe even less sometimes. Yeah. And then the PGA Championship, you know, it feels
weeks.
Like it's
two
right.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Two, 3 weeks.
Boom, boom, boom. So, yes, by moving the PGA to May, well, you've got a major in April, a major in May, one in June, one in July. That seems to make perfect sense. And then having the Players' Championship in March, you know, always kind of tagged as the unofficial fifth major, that's a nice way to kind of whet everyone's appetite. And then when that's done, it's like you got a couple more weeks and then you have the Masters, which I would assume is still considered the most prestigious event of the golf season. So I don't see a flaw in it. I certainly think it's worth a chance, worth a shot, because yeah, the PGA feels tacked on.
Yeah.
At the end, it does. There's a clear, I mean, I guess I'm golf maybe is the only comparable, or golf, tennis, the comparable, and maybe the Australian Open, because
right.
it happens again, kind of removed from French Open, Wimbledon, US Open, maybe because it's a whole world away for us. It feels like a bit of a lesser, but I still feel like the gap between that and the other three majors isn't the same as, I mean, the Masters has, everything seems to have its own distinct something aspect to it, whereas the PGA just seems like a slightly more important regular event.
Yeah, I almost feel like, because, I mean, I don't know if there's a big group of people saying, oh, well, the golf season is too long. Like, I don't know if that was that big of an issue, but I almost feel like the PGA, it's more so the branding of it than anything else. Like those, as you mentioned, those other tournaments, they have their own charm. The
sure.
British Open with like terrible weather conditions often. And obviously, you know, hello friends, the Masters,
sure.
Jim Nantz, right? And Augusta, where the PGA just is kind of like this no frills, like no real personality tournament. They really should just embrace the fact that this is the best of the best. Like this year, 98 of the top 100 guys you're going to see in one field. We're not just giving out invites based
hey,
on someone.
Hey, you won it 20 years ago.
Yeah,
come back.
Come on back. Like, no, this is the best of the best. This is the premium. I feel like they need to puff out their chest a little bit. So maybe with this move, it'll be rebranded in our calendars. So maybe it will rebrand it a bit in our minds. But yeah, the only thing it had for it at times was, let's say, the rare occasion where Tiger is going for a Tiger Slam. And so it became like the Belmont Stakes Triple Crown. Like, oh, well, like, we don't really care about you in conjunction with the Kentucky Derby, but you're last, and like, maybe this will help.
Yeah.
Those years, it really mattered. But other than that, I mean, it didn't have its own distinct personality. And is it that much different than the U.S. Open? Not really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's their issue.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, this tournament has had it's always needed a great storyline for you to get locked into it, right? You know, you had the 1 year where Wai Yu Yang came back to beat Tiger in that final round when Tiger was virtually unbeatable when he went into the final round with a lead. You had the John Daly story where he was a qualifier and he just got noticed that he was in the tournament like a couple of hours before it began. And then he shows up and he wins the whole thing, you know, and there's been those great storylines. But for the most part, year to year, you need something like that to really draw you into the PGA Championship. And this year it was Jordan Spieth trying to complete that career Grand Slam. And he's not going to do it. I'm looking way down the leaderboard. What is he, 3 over going into today? He's well back and well back at the lead. So nowhere near the top. And that's, it's disappointing, but I do think, you know, we're waiting for that next guy to maybe make a run at Jack Nicklaus's record. And that's kind of what's intriguing us towards Jordan Spieth, is that he could be that next guy given what he's done at such a young age. But does he have the charisma? Does he have the world star that's going to bring in the casual golf fan like Tiger Woods did?
I don't think so.
No.
This is the short answer. Yeah.
No, I mean, we off air before, we were talking about, you know, the 100, the ESPN's list of the 100 most famous players, and we're talking about Usain Bolt and kind of that charisma and someone who could really carry a sport and be bigger than the sport.
Can work a crowd.
Can work a crowd. I mean, Tiger, for all of his issues, when you saw literally red on Sunday, that mattered. Like that, he played with a certain charisma, and Nike kind of branded him with great commercials. Spieth, he's just a guy who was really good at Texas, and he's kind of really good, and he's really young, but even less so than Rory or Fowler, who's yet to win. I mean, Canadians were interested in DJ because who he's married to. There's a lot of other guys on the tour that are a lot more interesting. I'd rather listen to Bubba Watson speak about anything than Jordan Spieth.
Hey, Bubba Watson is like, he's part Canadian, right?
Yeah,
don't forget that.
Might as well be.
His wife is Canadian, so he's part Canadian. That's the old joke that he makes. I mean, when it comes to golf, they need something, right? And it's unfair, as we kind of talked about at the beginning of the show with Milos Raonic, it's unfair to compare these guys to Tiger Woods. He's incomparable. There was nothing quite like him. He was, you know, aside from being awesome, you know, he was a black man dominating a white man's sport. And that was part of the allure of it, too. He got casual crowds like nobody has ever seen before when it came to golf. That's what made Tiger Woods, even aside from the sheer dominance that he displayed. He was part of bringing in a world demographic, even with his Asian heritage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no, as Donovan said, there's just no dimension to it with Spieth beyond, hey, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
And unless you're really, 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 really good, that often can't be enough to, you know, bring people who would otherwise, you know, probably have no inclination to watch to come out in droves. And yeah, man, the Tiger story. And I think... we would safely assume at this point we have seen the last great on-course moment, we think. I mean, I know we cling to it, but, you know, sometimes when you just kind of casually, you know, mention him, you gloss over just how wild it's been, and that it's now been almost a decade since he won a major. I mean, it still doesn't feel like that long, but, and I, you know, you always forget too that in 2013 he was, I think, was back to number one. There was this period where you thought, okay, it's been, even in 2013, it was like, well, it's been a crazy 5 years.
Yeah.
But now we're back and engaged. And, you know, there's so many ways to look at it and angles to it. And just, you know, you could pick apart forever just about, like, we all thought he was so well suited to being this, like, killer guy, but maybe he actually wasn't. And yeah, it's a fascinating story that someday there's going to be hopefully an outrageously in-depth, amazing 3-part documentary on.
Yeah. I remember seeing that push alert. And, oh, Tiger Woods crashed his car in his own driveway. And like, oh, that's embarrassing. Like, that'll be a nice aside in like Tom Rinaldi's next interview with him. Not move on. Nothing to see here. And now it's going to be like chapter three in like the 17 part 30 for 30.
Yeah.
20 years from now, when we're looking at like this crazy rise and crazy crash of literally the guy who was bigger than the sport he played in. Like, I'm not really sure we've ever seen anything like it.
I can't think of someone in their dead prime have a precipitous fall like that. I mean, and then again, just the like series of events afterwards and the chain reaction. I cannot think of a comparable. So yeah, I think it's breaking new ground.
It's gonna make for
new ground on the way up and on the way down.
It's gonna make for a great movie pretty soon. One of these days.